Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, September the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's dive straight away into consecration this morning. I know many of us are headed to church. Practice, I call it. Sunday church is practice. Big game is Monday through Saturday. So, I love praying down at the altar with our kids at Gillette Methodist every Sunday. I teach them the consecration prayer and we practice it for the week ahead. So, are you ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I find that the more I pray that prayer, and the more I pray it, the more I mean it. I'm just like free with it. It's in me, and so now I can express it to Him. The more that that happens, the more I find that He's taking that prayer seriously, and He's just actually receiving me. He's keeping me. And that's the place where transformation can begin to happen. When He has hold of me, when He has domain with me, it becomes this movement of He reveals and by His Spirit I respond, and then He changes me, transforms me. And then I'm experiencing that He actually moves through me. Throughout the day, He's demonstrating His kingdom through my life. I'm not doing it. I'm participating, but it's not me making things happen. Anyway, I just wanted to share that joy with you today. The title of today's entry is an interesting one. What makes Jesus mad? How about that? What makes Jesus mad? And our text is Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, He said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to Him at the temple, and He healed them. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We come to a full circle moment today. Remember back in chapter 3 when John the Baptist said this curious thing? His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's Matthew 3:12. That prophecy is now this reality. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. You see, it turns out the temple was built on the ancient site of the literal threshing floor, purchased by King David from Araunah the Jebusite, where he offered a sacrifice to God to stop the plague. You should go read that in 2 Samuel 24. So if Jesus is on the threshing floor, which is the temple, what is his winnowing fork? Three words. It is written. The Word of God is the winnowing fork of Jesus. And what particular word does he call on for the winnowing of this day? My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. You see, the house of God is a house of prayer, whether people are praying or not. But when the house of God is being misappropriated or utilized for something other than what it is a moment for judgment. This raises the other full circle moment in today's text. Remember back in Matthew 4 when Jesus confronted Satan in the wilderness. Do you remember how he responded to the temptations of Satan? Yep, those same three words, it is written. It might be argued in this present scene, Jesus is confronting Satan, who has seemed to set up shop in the very house of God. It makes sense, doesn't it? What is the first thing Satan does when he comes to the house of God? He robs it of prayer. But notice how he does it. He introduces all sorts of other activities and enterprises. Do you remember a few chapters back when Jesus said with piercing clarity, "Go and learn what this means"? Do you remember what this was? I'll remind you. He said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And he said it twice. See Matthew 9, verse 3 and 12, verse 7. That word sacrifice is shorthand for the whole religious industrial complex the people of God had become. And that word, mercy, is the very essence of the heart and mind of the God of heaven and earth. There is a word that describes when any enterprise, religious or otherwise, supplants the heart and mind of God. That word is idolatry. Jesus has come to the threshing floor of the house of God, the very centerpiece of the religious establishment of Israel, the temple. And he has brought the Word of God because he is the Word of God. He has come to separate the wheat from the chaff, the true worship of God from the idolatrous religious enterprising of God's people. One more turn in this challenging word today. Idolatry can be hard to spot. In fact, you hardly know it when you're doing it. The telltale sign of idolatry in the house of God is injustice in the streets, or in this case, the temple courts. That's the significance of the last words in today's focus text. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. The blind and the lame had become totally neglected both in the streets and in the sanctuary. On this day, the very mercy of God returned to the house of God. The winnowing fork of the Word of God cleared the threshing floor. The wheat of true worship, signified not by the sacrifice of burnt offerings, but by the mercy that comes from broken hearts over the things that break the heart of God. that grain is now being gathered into the barn, and the fire is now kindled to burn the chaff. Can you smell the smoke? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy and how your mercy is over all your works. Thank you for showing us not only your merciful compassion, but for revealing your passion for mercy, for turning over tables and reclaiming your house for your purposes. Train us in these ways. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts today. Why do you think Jesus was so mad that day in the temple? What do you make of these connections between the threshing floor and the winnowing fork and the prophecy of John the Baptist? And what does it mean to be a house of prayer? Those are all questions I'd love for you to reflect on today as you open your journal and write. I know this has been a pretty deep kind of a post. And it's not warm and fuzzy, okay? I know. I get it. And you know what? You're not needing that. I don't feel like that's what you're asking me for. You're asking me for the straight word of God, and that's what we're trying to do here. So I appreciate that very much. Well, I'm trying to think about what we might sing today. There's a song called Majesty. It's on number 63 in our Seedbed Hymnal. Our Great Redeemer's Praise. I'm thinking about that one. There's another one that I'd kind of like to sing. And it's There is a Wideness in God's Mercy. But I don't know that hymn. And so I think I'm going to take a minute right here. I'm going to push pause on my recording. I'm going to learn this hymn, and we're going to sing it together because I feel like it's the right one. There is a wideness in God's mercy. All right, are you ready? We're going to sing number 64 in our Great Redeemer's Praise, our hymnal. There's a wideness in God's mercy. I've never sang it before. I learned the tune. It's four verses. They're very short, but this is on point. You ready? There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in His justice, which is more than liberty. I'm kind of missing the tune, but you hang with me. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in His blood. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we would take Him at His word, and our lives would be illumined by the presence of our Lord. I know I sang the last line of that different every time. Okay, I'm full of music, but I'm not a musician. You know that by now. I'm full of song, but I'm not a singer. I'm a worshiper. I'm doing my best. And if I see the right song, I'm just going to sing it. You know, if our love were but more simple, we would take him at his word. It is written. And our lives would be illumined by the presence of our Lord. My Father's house, my house, shall be called a house of prayer. That's what makes Jesus mad. Can we just call it? When we don't take him at his word, and when the people he came for suffer, while we press on with our religious business, that's what makes him mad. That's why he brings his winnowing fork. I desire mercy, not all this religious enterprising. That's what he's saying when he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Right? I desire mercy, the core heart, hesed, the heart of God for people. And when you just put all this religious business out in front and ignore that, he's not happy. It's called righteous indignation. All right. Let's sing one round of majesty. You ready? That's number 63 in the hymnal, the one before. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So rejoice, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. You got time for one more today. I just feel burdened to sing. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And, O God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And, O God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. All right. Well, you're headed to practice today, and you've just warmed up. You've practiced for practice. So let's go to church, and let's get in the shape of the Son of God. Let's get in the shape of the cross. Let's get filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus, and let's get ready to win another week on the fields of His kingdom. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.